Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? I'm serious. Come on over. Come here. Come here. Come here, bless you. I'm not going to hurt you. Come here. Yes. Join me. Join me now. Won't you? Come on, put that down. I'll help you with it later. We can take a couch inside anytime. Get out of here. Come on in. Well, hello, friends. I was just looking in the newspaper. It's only a couple days after Christmas, and already you see big ads from people trying to sell their tiny tubes of hand lotion that they got in their stocking. It's a reason for sale. Don't really use hand lotion. Also, do not like almond scent. Well, I can see that. My mother used to give us whole round nutmeg in our stocking, the size of marbles, and she would say, use them as crude marbles. I'd say, all right, Mama, thank you for being creative. What are these little cubes? Are these little fudgy snacks? No, they're wood. I don't know what they were for. I think she would get one of those log building sets and then chop them all up so we could all have some. That was so beautiful. We'll divide them up so we all have Lincoln logs. Now they don't fit anymore. And the original Lincoln knew that would happen. And he was like, maybe we should build with something other than logs. That's the way the real Lincoln sounded. I know this from time travel. It's funny how he gets the, people want him to have the deep voice. You do not have to have a deep and commanding voice to compel people to do things. Go murder your neighbors. Like that, you could be a cartoon mouse and do it, and be a despot, and don't be one of those. Oh my goodness, now that I'm thinking, I don't know that's how you say it. Despot, is it? I don't know. I missed so much school. They didn't have laws against it. When I was a child, they didn't have such thing as truancy. They have it now. But back then, they were like, all right, well, don't go to school. That way we have more resources for the people who care. And I'd go, all right. And that made sense to me. But now they're like, no, we want you here even if you don't want to be here. I understand. Oh, the days after Christmas, what do we do with them? They just seem like extra days until New Year's, don't they? It's like, what are we going to do? I don't know. There's just days they put in between Christmas and New Year's. They're just spare days. Well, let's be productive with them. Let's go back and revisit things that we did this year. I don't remember. I know. Isn't that bizarre? I feel that way. That's why I like to stretch it out and pretend maybe it's still Christmas and we're going to wake up and smell the same thing we did on Christmas, which was something burning. I never did figure out what it was. I think it was coming from the neighbor. Do you think he was putting tar down? That can't be. I think he was just burning plastic in the backyard. A lot of people do that on Christmas. Say, I'm going to go out and just see what sort of materials burn. Maybe you got a chemistry set for Christmas. That's it. Oh, back in the day, they would give you all sorts of things. Here, I'm going to give you an entire chemistry lab with Bunsen burners. Turn on all the Bunsen burners at once. And also, we got you a big bucket of frogs, and you can dissect them with your friends, or I don't know what you want to do with the dead frogs. You can call your art friends and make puppets out of them or something. It's so funny. You can do that with remains. You can use them for science or art. You can just pose them or make them say things. Like, oh, I'm Willie Loman. You could have a corpse say. Or you could put it to use in a lab, examining it, saying, what is the human skull made of? Let's find out once and for all. It's made of numb. I knew it. Oh, bless all of you, my friends. We are all holy numbskulls, aren't we? And I know that was a real person who lived in 57th back then. I get the years confused. When you time travel, it's all, you know, I won't go to the Middle Ages for another couple of years now. So is it in the future that people dress like that in burlap? Do they really dress in burlap? Yes. It was a fashion to wear potato sacks for some reason in the Middle Ages. And also to cut like a hole out of your hair. I don't know why people were doing that. Just shave the whole head. I started that. Go lose the fringe was the slogan I came up with. And people were like, all right, we'll just go with the full bald-headed. Speaking of bald-headed, I wanted to read the Christmas poem, I Am Santa, by L. Shapiro. And I read it every year. And I didn't read it this year. But now it's still around the Christmas season. How do I know? Because the smell is in the air. What's the smell? I'm not sure. It's not pine like some people think. It's something else. Is it the paper? Is it the wrapping paper? It could be actually drywall or drywall mud. I know you go, what is that all about? Well, they're refinishing the bathroom. And that could be it. So I don't know. There have been workmen here. And maybe that's the smell of Christmas, secretly. And we all know that. So for me, it's different. I spent a very memorable Christmas, you might say, in an elevator. Or I spent a very memorable Christmas on the set of a movie that was about a bakery that was about, or something, anyway. And there's some smell that's associated with it. How about that? Well, now I'm going to read I Am Santa, and here's the background music. You can't hear it. You can't hear it. There is what we call a music bed, but that's for me to feel comfortable. That's why it's called bed, music bed. If you heard it, it wouldn't make me feel comfortable. That would be self-conscious. So I just hear the music. Oh, I like it, and it puts me in the mood to tell a story. I say, well, I really wish we could hear it too. Hardy, I know. Oh, don't we all want to hear the music in each other's heads? Some are willing to take it out and pry it out of their heads, like nut meat, and pry it on out of there with something that looks like a surgical tool or a caponizing tool, and use that to pry the song out of the human skull, again, about which we know very little, and scrape it out there and put it into song form. And offer up the music in your head. But for others, the music stays in our head and it calcifies and it becomes very beautiful and forms like stalactites and stalagmites. And some of them look like the faces of old teachers or something like that. And in there we dwell. But when that music does come out, we realize, oh, maybe it was better in our head. Maybe it sounded better inside there. Now that it's out with that gated reverb, it sounds dated to me, to my ear. Oh, my friends, Merry Christmas. I'm going to read I Am Santa by L. Shapiro as of right now. If you're timing it at home, so I'm timing it. I don't know exactly when did he start reading it. I don't remember now. He psychs you out that way, so you lose track of the fact that you're just listening to time things. I am Santa Claus. I really am. I have a long white beard and a pot belly. I'm middle-aged. I can't tell you how many times that I've been approached by people asking, "Do you play folk music at the downtown farmer's market? Are you a biker? Do you own a seafood restaurant?" No, I am Santa Claus. That is always the last thing they think. But I am. And when I became Santa Claus, whenever that was, I remember thinking, now I will have a very definite identity. No longer will I flounder. My mother will be proud of me. What are you doing now? I'm Santa Claus. Oh, you are? I am the Santa Claus. Didn't you not know that? No, I'm so proud of you. Now I can tell you we didn't think much of you when you were young. All right, I know that. That's why I became so ambitious. Now I've become the Santa Claus, and you are proud of me, right?
Yes, I am. What? Mother, mother, you're gone.
Now I've lived my whole life to impress somebody who is now gone, but at least I'm Santa Claus, and I still have this unshakable identity. Everyone will recognize me. Now I know what you're thinking. I know when you're awake. No, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, it seems absurd. You can't be Santa Claus because so many things have been said about him that cannot simply be. For instance, there is no way that a human being could circumnavigate the earth distributing presents on one night to that many certain type of European Christian children at night. In a sled or a sleigh or something or a luge or some sort of carriage. Or just flying, I don't know, freestyle, or just even if he was zapping himself in and out of some sort of wormhole or something, still seems impossible. And I ask you this, could you repeat the question? Because I sort of lost track of what you were saying. And you said something about it's being absurd being Santa, you can't do that. I go, okay, oh no, I'll tell you why I was lost track, because I was thinking of paradoxes, but I'll get to that in a minute. Yes, that does seem crazy. But I ask you this, have you not gone to the mall and seen the fake Santas? Yes, of course I have. All right then, there you go. What? Santa, it transcends one actual physical Santa. Oh, so you're conceding that Santa is imaginary. No, sir! No, sir, listen to my testimony carefully. I am saying that like some sort of franchised clown, you know, a lot of people can be the franchised clown. There's one, Bingle McDingus or whatever. There's not just one, there's one Bingle McDingus that we see on the national ads, but then at different events, there has to be a different Bingle McDingus. Do you see what I'm saying? And, well, but that's a fictional character. If it's a type of character that is so, that's iconic, and anybody can be it, and it can inhabit anyone, it's sort of alive. And we say we're becoming that person, or playing that person, or playing that character, but we also say we are that character. I am Santa Claus. Because Santa Claus is just something that we can all be. Like one of the Beatles. The Beatles became that. I know they were real people. But really, they're realer on that cartoon of them. Where they're just simply caricatures. And each one is noted for a physical feature. And they all speak the British. And on the cartoon, they all sound like Eric Blore, I think. And, oh, Dudley, I'm John Lennon. Like that. It's beautiful. That's because they no longer are themselves. They are a character that someone is playing. They are a role. Also like the cartoon Globetrotters. Harlem Globetrotters also become icons. Become characters. Maybe like the characters in the Bible. I am Moses. Oh, sometimes we are Moses. Standing up on a mountain saying, I'm almost there completing my mission. And the Lord says to us, no, you are not going to complete your mission because, because stories don't, it doesn't wrap up that easily. That's not how we do it. You don't get, there's no, it's not your, that's meaning that you imposed on it. You were just kind of, if that's why you were leading people, Moses. The Bible isn't that mumbly. You notice. So you know it's not dictated by someone like me. And then, blah, 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 blah. That's what the actual scripture would say if I was dictating it to my holy angel stenographer. Oh, I remember my holy angel stenographer. I'd feel bad. So, oh, I don't want to make you take notes, holy angel stenographer, because I can see how painful it is to grip the pen with your wingtip. That's what they would have to do. Their arms are wings. Oh, angels all around us, I am Santa. It is totally possible that there is a spirit in me. It's a sort of a person. I'm pretending to be a person. We're all pretending to be a person. So everything is a character anyway. So what about a character that we pass around that we can all be? That happens all the time too. I believe that. I've always believed that some people see a movie that has some sort of character that's part of a group. All right, whether it's a war movie and the guys are named like Blackie and Shorty and Spunky and Contrary or something, right? And they all fit in as sort of characters, right? Archetypes. I've always been convinced that someone sees that movie, latches onto a personality, and becomes it for the rest of his days. You know, because I've encountered people that I feel like, I think I'm in a movie. And I think this person has decided that they're going to be a movie character. And that's fine. Maybe I'll be one too. I wonder which one I should pick. Maybe George from the cartoon Beatles. No, I don't. I'll pick some other character. I'll think about it. Let me think about it. I'm never able to answer a question if it's asked very directly and succinctly of me. Those are the worst kind of questions. Vague questions I do very well with because they're so open to interpretation. For instance, if you were to translate it into the language of restaurant, you would say, you know, if you order soup, I'm good because I can interpret that in a lot of different ways and give you soup. If you order French onion soup, I'm sort of sunk. Because that might be a specific thing, and I'm not going to do it right. Is there a big crouton on the top with cheese melted on it? Is that traditional? Nobody knows. No one knows, and no one will know, because a lot of times information has been lost. And all we have left is the Santa spirit, is the spirit of an individual that can possess us. Oh, like the ancient gods of our ancestors. They float into us at parties, sit around the dinner table, possessed by ancestors, and think, oh, they sat around like that. I had a dry, old, musty aunt like that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, saying very similar things. Isn't that interesting? Passed down from generation to generation. Is there nothing new onto the sun? No, it's too hot. Under the sun. I meant under the sun. Under the sun? How far under the sun? And under the sun also means a descendant. That's what we used to say. Say, there's nothing new. There's no new descendants. Or under sons. See, grandparents and under sons, you could tell how young somebody. Are you an under son? Yes. And they don't have a lot of those expressions anymore. Underwood. We called typewriters and ham that. When I was a young man. And now, neither one, I don't think. Oh, language. I'll tell you what it does to us. It comes and it bites. You ever hear something biting you in the rear end? So, oh, that's going to come and bite you in the butt. Well, that first of all, that comes from having a certain kind of pet. So people used to say, oh, I'm going to get a pet gibbon. And they say, oh, that's going to bite you in the rear end. Really? Yes, that decision is going to eventually bite you right in the buttocks. And it sounds silly, but there's a lot of flesh there. You could really be hurt. All right, well, maybe I should not get a gibbon. You don't get it. First of all, it's a wild beast. Let it be wild. Well, then a baboon then. No, now you're worse. Now you're going worse down the scale. You don't need to own any creatures or anything. Just go for walks. Oh, my friend, I welcome you on a walk. I wish we could go walking on crunchy leaves together in magical forests with impossibly high trees. What's at the top of the trees? The luckiest beasts far from us. Not that I don't like us. I love being with you, but I understand human beings. Oh, my goodness. They should always be at the bottom of trees so that there can be kind of lighter creatures that dwell in the branches. And who dwells up there upon the branches? Different magical creatures, I believe. I hope I'm not spreading rumors. So many people spread lies nowadays, and they're malicious. At least I'd like to spread some that there's all sorts of fairies living in your old electric alarm clock. So, and they're precious and benevolent, and they're wonderful. And I can show you how to use them, and not use them, but I mean work with them to improve what we would call feng shui in your living space. The fairies can help you decorate, say, you need to move that plant, I hear them say into my ear. And I will. Or say, you need to move that couch completely. Don't angle furniture. All right, I thought it looked cool. No, it doesn't look cool. It's just taking up too much space. Go ahead and push it up against the wall. Oh, but they tell you not to do that. Watch. Those are the fairies say to me. Or, but the carpet needs to be under the furniture. It looks like everything's floating. Oh, my goodness. That's gnomes say that. Gnomes say so many things. They have cookbooks. They have shows nowadays. They stand upon lawns screaming instructions to their neighbors. Are any of these things are contrary to rational thought, aren't they, Hardy? Let me defend myself, sir. And I have in court. I get a little hung up on the raise your right hand, take off your hat part. And I know that's Three Stoogian. And I get caught in a sort of loop. Or take off your hat, raise your right hand. Do you swear to take off your hat? I don't know if you've seen this. If I had directed that scene in the Three Stooges short, it would have gone on, and the script would have said ad infinitum, and it would have gone on. That would have been the piece. They would be doing it to this day. Their descendants would be having to do it. How long is this gag going to go on? Decades, if we have to. Until we're all gone and there's no one left to do it. That's how this works, my friend. You thought it was something less than that? Oh, we are on a wonderful mission to preserve thoughts and ideas. Come with me now. I want to take you on the journey of paradoxes. Oh, this is going to be dry. It is. Not everything dry is bad. You know that. Some things you don't want to be, you prefer them to be dry, like a cracker. And that's, as I heard a dry cracker on the radio today. Yes, perhaps you did. But listen to me. I want to share with you something I think would be helpful. And that is that there can be a Santa Claus, because what we think of paradoxes, that's a statement that is, if it's true, it's absurd. It sounds right, but then it contradicts itself, and the result would be absurd or something. So, like the bald man paradox. I know this well because I don't have a lot of hairs, and I've thought about how many hairs is not bald. Right? I promise you 10,000 hairs. 10,001? And it's hard to identify what a heap is, and it only becomes a paradox, these things, because of language, really. Language fails us. I failed language, and now language has failed me. It's returned the flavor, as they say. Yes, it has. Language failing me. And it creates a paradox so that it appears that those two things can't happen. People use this all the time to justify their crummy ethics or something, too. They say, oh, intolerance. Are you going to tolerate, if you're tolerant, you have to tolerate intolerance. That's all words. You know there's different. It's very different being tolerant and being intolerant. They seem like the flip side of things because we've assigned words to them. But being the type of person that accepts others and is patient with others is different than the type of person that goes around judging people. Isn't that right? They're not just flip sides of the same thing. Come on, the words have failed you. Look at that, you're a prisoner of the language is making opposites for you. The language is telling you what is possible. Oh, you can step beyond it. If you step beyond your language a bit, what language should we use, Hardy White? Look, I'm integrating it now to get you used to it. It's what I'm doing now. All right, I'll start stuttering more and everything. Well, I mean, it couldn't hurt, but that isn't really what I'm talking about. Although it is a little bit. You can just make sounds. Don't feel obliged to put everything into words. We have a very wordy way of doing things now. Everything has to be written. In my day, a lot of people were well-respected. It just went, uh-huh, yep, you know. It's like, all right, I like that. That person seems, they're not wasting a lot of air. So, you know, I like to think rather than speak, but I also like to speak. And I'm also trying to do this thing where I'm using words, I'm using so many of them that I'm completely devaluing them. And that's what I hope to do. I said, I'm going to wear them out. Because I think sometimes they're just, I don't know. I think they're our downfall. You know, I think they've replaced the gaze. We used to just, really? I don't know. I'm making stuff up. So just come with me. It doesn't have to be true. The false is true too in a way, because if I'm telling you something that's false, like an experiment. The experiments that fail tell you something about reality as well, don't they? So when we bump up to the extremes of what is true, then that tells us something about what is true as well. So we test the limits of our credulity and say, do I believe there is a Santa? Do I believe spirits can inhabit you and you become that person? I don't know. There are a lot of traditions based on that. People live their lives believing that the spirits have independent life in a way, and that they can live it out in you. They just need a vessel. It almost makes sense to me. I mean, I feel like I have a spirit living in me now. It's just the one that lives there all the time. My body is a sort of apartment. It's an ordinary apartment. It's not bad. I'm not putting it down. And there's beautiful ones like it all around it. And we've been here many years now. And there's been a fella living in it the whole time, pretty much. And there you have it. And I suppose that when the tenant's gone, this whole analogy falls apart. Because I don't know if somebody else going to come and live with me. Yes, conceivably they could. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that fella could move out in the lifetime of the apartment and somebody else could move in. Oh, okay. But what about memories, Hardy? You have the memories of a fictional character? I don't know. Do you need memories? Do angels have memories, or do they just have characteristics? I'm going to now have other spirits speak through me. Now, these are spirits from other times and places. Hello, I am from... I'm not mocking people to do it. I'm just trying to do it. And I don't know whether I'm doing it in my head like it's a Ouija board, or they're really... Shut up! Or they're really coming to me. Shut up! That one sounds real. So that's something that maybe a spirit would say to me. I don't blame them. Oh, my goodness. I've never yelled shut up at somebody. I've thought it, you know, a couple times. You know, bless somebody's heart. I think, well, why am I being so hostile? Be a little more patient, Hardy. Oh, just because you're patient doesn't mean people can't get to you a little physically. You know what I'm saying? You go, oh, that one... Oh, bless that creature, beautiful spirit person. They're going to take a little more effort for me. Come on. Oh, I love it. Test me, Lord. Test me. Satan and Lord getting together, going to do some co-testing. They got together. They thought, hey, you know, some of our goals are about the same. See what people are made of. See what their metal is, right? So let's test it. And Lord and Satan says, yeah, test is a test, right? So they collaborated and they hired a third party. And that third party you run into all the time at like, a four-way traffic stop or something. They pop up here and there. They're like a secret detective. You're behind them in line at the grocery store. Oh, please test me, universe. What if I fail? Then you have to go to a special school. It's like Sunday school every day. You learn some basic lessons about getting along with people. Come on in, and you're going to learn how to live with folks. What's this? It's dish soap. Dish soap, what's that for? Doing dishes. Oh, it's always good to volunteer to do the dishes. Don't let someone clean up after you. If you make the mess, go ahead and clean it up. I believe that that's a little bit of information that's been lost now. People don't say it enough. I don't hear it enough, really, on the nightly news. I would like that newscaster to lock eyes with me. And they zoom in on the eyes of the newscaster. And the newscaster says, seriously, it is a virtue to clean up after yourself. If you were at a friend's house dining, go on, step up to that sink, start doing dishes. Lead the washing up. We all make a mess in this world. Own your mess. Cooperate. You're not getting out of anything. You're making life worse. We're just going to have to live with the filthy dishes. I want you to walk up to that sink right now. I don't care whose house you're at. And they might protest. They might say, no, you don't have to do that. And you say, I want to. I want to be helpful. I want to be useful. I want to get my hands into the dish soap. I want to ask, which is this? Is this a sponge? What is this? Is this a cloth? Is the cloth for a certain type of dish? And the sponge is for the pots and pans? I'm very confused. Is it a kosher thing? Is this a flashic milchik thing? Do I keep them separate? How are dishes done at your house? Why are there three sinks? There's a sterilizing sink? That's a commercial thing. At your house? Really? Can't we just wipe off? I just hose them off. I barely use any of the soap even. Just rinse off the chunks of sauce. And they'll be fine. That's why they make it out of China and not unfinished wood. Because then your food would soak into the wood. Every time you ate cream corn, it would become part of your dish. And I don't think you want that. It might get moldy or something. And not in a good way, like cheese. Moldy old corn-saturated dish wood is my full title. But people don't call me by that very often. And it's putrid. Oh, some things get an odor in them over time. Much like a Santa costume that many have to wear. They step up to it day by day, and then they just there. I'm making the poem as we go along. Whose woodsies are, I think I know. I think I know. I know. I knew. I'm working on that for children. Did you rip off Robert Frost? Who knows? Just a tiny, tiny little bit. No one's going to notice. It's like when you just take a little bit of alcohol from your parents' liquor cabinet. They're not going to know. And then a decade later, your father's going, but where's my scotch? I think I'm evaporated. It might have evaporated. I think it happens over time. So many things do happen over time. In fact, everything happens over time. Have you ever thought that? It's like time is like rice at a boring restaurant. Say, do you have anything that's not over the rice? No. That's just how it comes. It comes over the rice. Can I have the rice separate? No, you can't just have separate time. You have to have sauce on it. It's all mixed up, and you're going to get the sauce off of the rice. I'm sorry. So that's the problem. That's the price. There's curry sauce upon your rice. The end. That was I Am Santa by L.L. Shapiro, and I read that every year. Right here. This is the. I also have the DVD of it. Of it being read, not by me, but maybe by the author. I don't know. I got it at the flea market. So I always check. I always get the DVDs at the flea market. I don't know what they are. I'm nervous when I first put them into the player. So I don't know if this is what it's supposed to be. Because I went to one, the guy had a wonderful booth. He had stolen someone's entire Criterion collection. And I was like, oh, so this is sweet. Thank you for doing this. And he said, I can let you have the whole thing. And I said, well, I don't want it all together. You know what I mean. He said, all right. So I just went tick, 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 tick. Oh, my friends, commerce. It's not just a bank in Beverly Hills. Oh, we exchange things, don't we, upon the marketplace. We step out into it. It's virtue. Virtual, not virtue. Virtue and virtual. So we need to make those very, very separate and distinct words now. We need more letters. There's got to be more letters. Words have to change a little bit. There's got to be a big conference of sort of time lords that get together and just change the language completely. No one will listen to them, but that's okay. I think that's good too. Or you could just start speaking in different language. Make up one with your friends. That's fun. The fewer people who speak your language, the better. I think the less trouble you can get into. The worst is when you start having a body of literature. That is, don't do that. Oh my goodness, can you imagine? And is there literature based on the Tolkien languages? So yes, I've been writing elven poetry for years. I'm sure someone has. I'm sure they have. Who has read it? And does it matter? I'd like to hear it read it. I would totally hear it read out loud. If there was a reading of elven poetry at the locally owned bookstore this weekend, I would go. Well, this weekend I'll be out of town. So not this weekend, but conceivably if it was there, I would think about going. I would say I might go if I can get somebody to go with me. I would go. I will go. That's like it is anywhere. I feel that way about death. You know? If I can get somebody to go with me, I don't think it'll be bad. Otherwise, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Death to me seems like, you're going to take a trip by yourself in Southeast Asia or something. Oh, for vacation? It's like a vacation. All right. Come on. You're not going to need luggage. Oh, okay. I mean, going somewhere you're scared of by yourself. Can you imagine that? That's the end of it all for us. Bless all of us. Oh, I want to hug you so much. I don't know either. I know. Everybody should be treating each other like that all the time on the street, because once you understand the idea of how precious life is and how short it is, and then why wouldn't you be walking around going, oh my, everybody, you know, anybody need anything? All right, yes, I'm all right. Let's all just eat sweets or everything. It's difficult. You want to kind of get together and let's pitch in to make this better. But we haven't managed to do that exceptionally well, but maybe a little bit. I don't know. I'm not here to judge. I am, though. You're saying, well, why are you wearing long flowing robes? They're not really judges' robes. It's a bishop's outfit. And why are you dressed as a bishop? It's a very long story, but why don't you join me now as we go back in time and find out why I'm dressed as a bishop. It's not a bishop's costume. I went as one of those industrial goth dancers from the internet one Halloween, and I'm cold, and it was the first thing I saw, so I put this on. It has a gas mask that goes with it. I'm not going to do the dance right now, but I'll tell you what, I've worked it into my workout. I've integrated it. I do, every time I see movement I like, I go, I'm putting that in my workout. I like that. That's crazy. That's some movement I think I would like to make. It looks, rah! The best are when you watch old Three Stooges and the lady gets a bee down her back and the Three Stooges are getting dance instructions from her, so they think it's a kind of new dance where you holler and you go, oh, la, 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 and you try to reach down your back with your arms, which is difficult. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried to reach down? Try it right now. I'm having a hard time doing it, but you put your arms up and you try to get to the center of your scapula with your hands. It's hard to do. And imagine if there was a bee there between your dress clasp and your flesh. Maybe just crawling or maybe stinging you violently. That's a dance. And so you can work that into your workout, or you can just sit on the couch and watch it and laugh. Because that's the way we do it as human beings. I look at you and I get an idea for expression or movement or one, and if you're Santa Claus, then I will become Santa Claus too. I always think when I'm going out just on my daily errands or anything that I'm going to see something that's going to change my life in the form of a certain type of sweater or what have you, or jacket. That's how impressionable I am. I'm going to see somebody leaving the grocery store and they're going to have on an item of clothing and I'm going to say, that's what I want to look like right there. And say, well, that guy is in, I believe, a Nutcracker ballet, and that's a Nutcracker jacket. It's not really something that people wear. I want it, but I want to wear it. That's what I want to look like. The fella ringing the bell over there, why is he ringing a bell? Oh, that's Santa. He doesn't look like Santa Claus, does he? No, he doesn't. But I've seen him before outside of this very same grocery store. Yes, not dressed like Santa. Yes. Also asking for money, yes. But now he's asking for money for others. He is. I like that. Man, I want to be that guy. All right. Well, your name is Santa. Santa. All right. I will be Santa Claus. Oh, my name is not Santa. My name is Bob Escacourt. And I own a seafood restaurant in Key West, Florida. True or false? False. That's just, I'm going to tell you how to play the game. Now we're going to play it. Now you play it. You go, my name is Gigi Cummings. That's it. Exactly. Keep going. And I own a meat market convenience store in Central South Georgia. All right. True? Not true. True. It sounded so true. Not true. Wow, it's a pretty detailed thing to be not true. That's how the best lies are ones that say, well, that could be, I guess that could be true. That's why when I put out my lies about things, little creatures living in your electronics, people go, no, that doesn't even ring true. Listen to this. You think something rings true. Listen. Hear that? Do you hear a ring right now? The kind that when you accidentally go to your mom's church and they've got the bell choir, and then they hold the bell against their upper chest to mute it, like that, and they do, that one, the bell, what's it called? It's called Tubular Bells. Is the name of that song. So request it. Say, oh, it's the holidays. Hardy, I know, loves Tubular Bells. It's his favorite holiday song requested from the bell ringers. So that'll be great. And they're going to do that next year. So they said they would do it. So I don't know. The pastor doesn't know about it yet. He's going to love it. Oh, my friends, I wish I had a cookie to offer you. Because that's what Santa would do. When I was a child, we'd leave cookies for Santa. But we'd also leave a cigar for Santa, which looking back is quite bizarre. Was Santa Ed Asnar? What's going on there? I don't get that. I absolutely, distinctly remember leaving a cigar. Not that I had a cigar laying around, but I guess my grandmother or something come up with it. My grandfather didn't even smoke cigars. He smoked Camel. I think my grandparents were confusing Santa with Castro. Is there a similar number of letters or something? If I am Santa, then Santa will have my same idiosyncrasies. I'm going to have my own kind of hat instead of Santa's hat. What kind of hat are you wearing right now, Hardy White? Well, I'm wearing an imaginary hat made of the finest, most delicate paper. I like paper hats because they keep my head not warm, but at the same time, they make me look stupid. When I was a young man, instead of stockings hung by the fire with care, our family would hang our hats. That's where we would dry our wet head covering every winter. And Santa would put the presents in that. My hat was one of those stretchy knit kinds, a toque. So it would be filled up with wonderful presents like oranges and Rubik's cubes and triangles. And But my father, he would just have his pork pie hat because he was a ska musician. And he would never get anything good. He'd go, what do I would just, I guess reeds, he would say. Oh, I miss those days. A lot of them didn't happen. And so how do you miss something that never happened? How do you become nostalgic over a thing that never was? Oh, people are that all the time, are they not? They misremember the past, and then they become nostalgic for their own misremembered memory, non-memory memory. Oh, so I was going to write it down on a bumper sticker until you messed it up like that, Hardy White. Why can't you just be more concise? I think you ruin it like that when you can't distill it to just a few simple words. Why can't it be a slogan? Because if it's a slogan, it will be language dependent and invite paradox. Hi, I'm Hardy White. Welcome to the Hardy White Word Series. We're going to be discussing words using words. And I know you might not have seen that before. It's like the Frosting on Frosting exhibit we had where we used frosting to really talk about and explain frosting. Say, well, I call it icing. Well, that was addressed. If you were there, you would have known that was a big discussion. The icing frosting thing is almost like the pork roll Taylor ham debate. That was another time and another place. Oh, my friends, perhaps we will meet in another time or another place. Probably will. I think that's how meeting goes. It's inevitable. If you're going to meet at all, you'll meet in another time and another place. Probably both. And we don't like to acknowledge that all the time. In fact, we don't like to acknowledge anything. In fact, we don't like to acknowledge. In fact, there are no facts that we acknowledge. Why acknowledge? That's when, like, noticing somebody at the grocery store, you go, oh, dang it, I can't say hi to that person. I haven't seen them in so long, and I forget their name. This is going to be awkward. I literally have to not acknowledge their presence. Now, if they pick up on that and they think, I think Hardy is going out of his way not to recognize me, and you'd be right, and then how would you interpret that? That is why I am Santa Claus. Santa Claus turns no one down. Well, yes, he does. He only comes to certain people's houses. Not me. I'm a different kind. If I'm going to go all the way around the world, then I'm going to see everybody. I'm going to go to each and every human being and say, I acknowledge the longing that is in your heart. And this is why you require Santa Claus. That you desire things in this world that is no sin. Everybody wants a little fluffy fluff doll or something like that. Or little Jimmy Corky car, no such thing. I'm just saying, for example, don't the examples have to be real? I guess they do, but you knew what I was saying, because I guess I should have just said doll or something. I wanted to elaborate. I'm not on trial here. Yes, you are, sir, for the crime of being not Santa Claus or Santa Claus, as per the movie. If that movie had really happened, and it did, then you would have seen it. And you did. So you can acknowledge its reality. So in fact, Santa Claus does exist, and he's an actor named Edwin something. I'll look it up and I'll dub it back into the show. That's how this works. That's why it's so brilliant. Like I can just say every day, I go, Edmund Gwynn. Was it Edmund Gwynn? Say I don't have to know for sure. I'm gonna go back, look it up. And I will come back to the show, I'll edit it in, I'll punch it in, and be like, Edmund Gwynn. Just like that, and you won't even know that I didn't know it the first time through. That's how I know. You say, well, you're breaking the illusion there. That's like saying, oh, yes, there is a Santa, but he's more like an archetype or a concept or something or a character people play. How is he any less real? Tell me how he's any less real. You know, if you've ever played an iconic role on stage, for instance, the sergeant major in A Monkey's Paw. Iconic role. Everybody knows it. Dream about it. Say, I could be that. I know that. I mean, the character comes up in poetry all the time. So it's out there. Everybody has molded it over time. You can be it. You're invited to be that person. Who are you talking about? Are we not completely in sync? Maybe. This is the sharing. That's the weak link, is the shared memories thing. Do we have to have shared memories to be able to communicate? Yes. So some of them have to be false for us to have shared enough shared memories to make language work. Means that most of history has to be made up. That's what I heard. I heard this in school, and I stormed out angry, and I decided I'm going to become a street poet. And I wandered the earth, a mendicant, writing poetry and seeking answers. And then I stumbled upon real estate. And I thought, hey, maybe I could take the realtor exam. And that didn't work out. So I moved on, and I apprenticed at various things. A lot of them, some of them were meaningless management things. I went to something called Boss College. And Boss College is really, it's for you're very, very ambitious. Say, why? Don't bother learning the skills. Bosses are an entire set of people. They often know nothing about the thing that they're bossing. It's a different skill. And a lot of it is just boundless self-confidence. So I went to this thing called Boss College, and every day you'd go, and they teach you just how to believe your own baloney. And I thought at the time, I thought, this is great. I feel like I'm at the top of the world. And that's the problem, is that, yes, I merely felt that way. And other people weren't perceiving it the same way. I don't know why. So why is my self-love not translating into love of others, other people's love for me? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I find that it's a bit of a gamble. Life itself is like a cruise ship. And also life is like the casino on the cruise ship. How can the casino contain itself? This is a paradox, only because of the language. If philosophy didn't depend on cruise ship analogies, oh, how much more we would get done. Have you opened your mind yet? Are you opening it up like you would your house? For an open house, you don't have to be selling your house to have an open house, my friend. Simply put a sign in your front yard that says, open house, come on in, I'm going to give you candy. People will come right inside like that. And they will say, I'm here for the candy. And you say, come for the candy, stay for the boring stories about my time living in France. And that's an old, old expression. As we age, sometimes we look back at our lives and ask ourselves, who's that in that picture with me in grad school? I have no memory of this at all. And sometimes we ask ourselves, what has become of me? I had certain desires when I was a young person. I wanted to look a certain way. I thought, I hope something starts growing on my forehead. Nothing gross or anything, just like a tiny mural on my forehead, maybe. Maybe it changes all the time, like an advertisement, like a billboard or something. Maybe my forehead lets people know how I feel. And it does. When I squish my forehead together, it says, Burma shave, like that. And people go, what is that? Why does your forehead wrinkles say Burma shave? And how do you do that? Well, some of it's practice. Some of it is genetics, which I'm now learning. I'm now learning genetics. I'm taking it as a class. Mainly now we just do stretching, which I was like, at first I thought, this is bogus. But the instructor says, no. If you can't stretch, if you can't physically move in this way, how are you going to even learn genetics? You can't. In fact, the instructor said, this goes for anything, really. It's if you stretch your mind, too, to accept some things, you need to stretch. But I don't believe you do. I've stopped stretching and I feel better, actually. Because now my muscles stay nice and strong and I'm not pulling out the nice contraction. I have that good muscled look instead of stretching all the time. Made myself look all stretchy. Now I feel fine. My back doesn't hurt as much. Sometimes intuition do the opposite of what you're thinking and then flip it again. Flip it a couple times. Just like you're playing the cup game, but with yourself. Three card Monte by yourself, because you don't want to, you want to trick yourself out of doing the intuitive thing. And sometimes that's just by getting absolutely, utterly confused. That's the only way to do it. So you're going to wipe out what was there. And I think of the show that way. What would you say? Describe your art, Hardy. I won't. I won't do that, but I will describe something I learned about. There's a product, I'm not going to name it, of paint. Let's say you have a very, very stained wall. And every time you paint it, the stain soaks through. No matter what kind of paint you put on there, whether it's special advertised, thick undercoat, yawa, rabob, but there's a special product called like Kills a Stain or something. And you put that on there, and it's supposed to, you'll never see the stain again. It erases the past completely. It'll never bleed through. Oh, my word. And that works. No. I don't know. It doesn't. It doesn't. I don't know. I mean, it didn't work for me. Nothing worked. I had a stain on a basement wall so persistent. It was some kind of paint or ink or something. And it just kept magically coming through. And it said, many, many Tekelu Farson. And I thought, what is this? And then I had somebody come out from the Bible and interpret it. And they said, hey, do you know what this means? And I said, what? And they said, have you read the book of Daniel? And I go, is that a Dan Brown thing? And they go, no, it's the Bible. I go, oh, okay. And they said, it's you should check it out. So I went and I read it, and Nebuchadnezzar is not just the size of a champagne bottle. I thought it was like a very large one. It is that also, but it's also, I know all this stuff. I've been preaching the book of Daniel for how long? Oh my goodness, I stand on street corners and I tell you that sometimes if you gain the kingdom of heaven, you lose your earthly kingdom. You will no longer be King Nebuchadnezzar. You will be wandering in the wilderness, Nebuchadnezzar. And sometimes if you accept the truth, the reality of this world and of your own soul, you will lose your worldly stature. And is that that's a heavy price to pay? No, you're going to die anyway. So don't worry about it, that people don't think you're special. Or, you know, it's unnecessary to be king of anything. I'm just telling you. I'm saving you some time if you wanted to be king. Oh, I wanted to be king, Hardy. You're crushing my dreams. I'm sorry, but I think right now that's a dumb one. I know you say, oh, there's no dumb dreams. Being king, I think, is dumb. Don't do that. I can't tell you how many people I've known whose lives have been ruined that way, being a king or a drummer or something. Don't do it. Go do something practical. Work in the fields. Or I don't know, is there such a thing anymore? Can we do that? Go do service industry. Is that a thing? I've heard that. I've heard tell. Factory job. Don't follow your dream. I don't even know what your dream is. I don't remember now because it was dreams are like that. I think we were at a sandwich shop. I don't remember. It's fading now, friends. Everything is fading away. The past. Slowly. Like a bridge that's crumbling as we cross it. It's so wonderful to be with you. And I hope you've enjoyed our little time together on the few days after Christmas. When the ads in the paper are selling the stocking. I thought I could get through the whole thing without coughing. I knew I got a cold on Christmas. And I thought I was going to get through the whole, who am I fooling? I thought, slow it down, Hardy. Talk real airy like that and nobody will. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York. And online, worldwide, WFMU.org. Thank you for listening. See you again next week.